Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and blessed for that Psalms 118 word. We got to be grateful. Hallelujah. Because God has made a new day. He has given us another opportunity for you over. He has said, it's time to get up. It's time to go to work. So hallelujah, I'm ready to go to work for God this morning. And I thank him for this great day. That is his day. Hallelujah. I pray that you all had a wonderful day, had a wonderful evening. You know, I love the way we say it on Morning Glory. I didn't get a chance to get on this morning, but I do believe that no thieves broke in it and no fires broke out. And we give God glory, honor, and praise that he watched over each and every one of us on last evening to this wonderful day. And it's beautiful. It's such a sunny, beautiful day where I am. And I'm just giddied up and grateful. Hallelujah. As I said, I'm giddied up and I'm grateful. Father God in heaven, we thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your love toward each and every one of us, oh God. We know, Lord God, that you are in charge of everything. And we can't purchase our way into heaven. It is a gift that comes from you. Father God, we come expecting that this word will lift us up and change our lives. We come expecting the Holy Spirit to come in and take a seat and take control. So, Father God, I give myself away for you to use me this morning. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength. You are my strength, Lord, and you are my redeemer. And I am grateful that you have given me this opportunity to read and teach your word of God. So, Father God, as you increase, I decrease. Asking you, Lord God, to lead and guide me in what I say, in what I speak, in all that I do. But, Lord God, I cannot do it without you. And I ask you in the name of my Savior, who I believe in, Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life for me, just the humble servant, one of his sheep. He took the sacrifice of God and died for me. I give myself away to be used by you in his name. I look up, lift up, giving honor, giving glory, and giving hallelujah praise. But there is none like you, God. Amen, amen. Amen, y'all, amen. Giving God the glory this morning as we go into the word of God on this 27th day of June. We are halfway finished with our Bible. Almost. I'm looking at my pages. If you have the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, which is what we are coming out of, New King James Version, we are on page 786. And when you get to the end of the Bible, it is page 92. So we're getting pretty doggone close to half finished, which is wild to know that we have read almost half of the Bible in a half a year. A half a year. I am just so excited. When we get to page 796, we will be halfway finished. So when we get to page 796, we will be halfway finished with the Bible. It just blows my mind that God has given us such an awesome and great word. And this morning, the word that God gave me was, the Spirit of God is freely given to those that believe. Wow. Or to those that believe, the Spirit of God is freely given. God freely gives the Spirit. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to have millions of dollars to purchase it. Because the bottom line is, you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't legislate your way into heaven. You can't make rules to hurt everybody else to buy your way into heaven, because you think you're doing the right thing. But if you're hurting others, you're not. I have never in my life lived where someone can make a rule, not for the benefit of the many, but for the benefit of the few. And, you know, as I was studying and in prayer, you know, I am a firm believer in life. I believe that God is the only one that can take it. But one thing I do believe in also is choice, because God gives us choice. God is not a God that says, you must do it my way. He gives us freedom to choose him. He gives us salvation. He gives us freedom to choose life, because death and life is the power of death and life is in the tongue. So the question becomes, are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Those are questions that only we can answer for our own individual selves. Just like individually, we all must stand before God. Nobody can go to God for you. You can only go for yourself. Time comes, and we all are going to have that time that we must stand and give an accounting to God. And God asks you, did you hurt? Did you harm? Did you love? And I pray that your answer will be, I loved. And I loved my fellow man. I did what you said to do, Lord. I love you, God, above everything. I love you with my heart. I love you with my soul. I love you with my mind. I love you with my strength. I love you with every part of my being. And I have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And yes, God, I love my neighbor as I love myself, because you said to love. And I love. And I loved my family. I loved everyone I came in contact. I loved God just as I was asked. Just as I learned. Just as I confessed my sins, I repented. And I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I saw a question that was asked on a website that I was on, and on Twitter, and it said, are you leaving Christianity? And I answered this, I am a Christian. I am a believer. And nobody can take my faith. No one can take my faith. Because I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in love. So I say today, if you're going to make some choices, if we talk about pro-choice, choose Jesus. Choose love. Choose God. Because he's already chosen you. Let's get into our word this morning, thanking God that he is in charge of everything. a court can regulate your morality. Only you can. Got it. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, "Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to David, 'Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you.' But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought you up Israel, even to this day, and have gone from tent to tent, from one tabernacle to another, wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house." Woo, hallelujah. "And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all the vision." So Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree. O Lord God, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that you have heard with your ear. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt? For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God." Wow, hallelujah. "And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, let it be established forever, and do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God.' and let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God and have promised the goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Hallelujah. We thank God this morning for the blessings. Did David have to pay for them? No. Did he have to come up with all kind of money to pay for it? No. He just believed. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot buy your way into God's grace. Spirit of God is freely given to those that believe. David believed. David believed. Do you believe today? And as we go into chapter 18 of First Chronicles, it says, after this it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath and its towns from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. And David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, as he went to establish his tower by the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David for wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were in the service of Hadadezer, were on the service of Hadadezer, and brought them to Jerusalem. Also, Tabith and from Shun, cities of Hadadezer, David brought a large amount of bronze, with which Solomon made the bronze sea, the pillars, and the articles of bronze. And when two king of Hamath heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, king David, to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. But Hadadezer had been at war with two. And Hadoram brought with him all kinds of articles of gold, silver, and bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold that he had brought from all these nations, from Edom, from Moab, and from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and administered judgment and justice to all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorded. Zadok, the son of Etab, and Abimelech, the son of Abathar, were the priests. Shavasai, Benaniah, the son of Joadiah, was over the Jerites and the Pileites, and David's sons were chief ministers at the king's side. As we continue in First Chronicles chapter 19, it happened after that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. And the princesses of the people of Manasseh to Haman. Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent confidence to you? Did his servants not come to you to search, overthrow, and to spy out the land? That's what comes with privilege. You don't think anybody can be kind. You don't think anybody can be nice. Well, people can be kind and people can be nice. And these young princes don't understand. These princes don't understand that they are setting themselves up for failure because they don't understand an act of kindness. And this is what it says, therefore, Hanan took David's servants, shaved them, and cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks, and sent them away. Then Saul went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanan and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syria and Mecca, and from Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots with the king of Mecca and his people who came and encamped before Megiddo. Also the people of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. When the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array before the gate of the city, and the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians, and the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me, but if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. We have good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for battle and against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered the city. So Joab went to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought them beyond the river and stopped that. The commander of Hadadar's army went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came upon them, and set up in battle array against them. So when David had set up in battle array against the Syrians, they fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 chariots and 40,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians, and killed Shaphat, the commander of the army. And when the servants of Abishai saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore. They were like, no, not for all the money. You cannot buy everything. And you can't buy peace, and you can't buy God. And it happened in chapter 20 of 1 Corinthians, of 1 Chronicles. It happened in the spring of the year of the time kings go out to battle that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took the king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it. And it was set on David's head, and he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws, with iron picks, and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened afterwards that war broke out at Gaza with the Philistines, at which time Sibbekai, the Hushite, killed Sipai, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued. after there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lehmi, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man, he was also born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shammai, David's brother, killed him. There was born to the giants in Gath. These were born to the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. Hallelujah. God takes care of his children. He takes care of us, and he loves us, and he is not allowing anyone, not even giants, to come up against us. All we have to do is believe. And as we continue in our word, we'll come back to life lessons if time permits this morning. As many know, I will be doing my civic duty on tomorrow, working as an election judge, and there will not be a blog on tomorrow. So the lessons that we are doing today are lessons for tomorrow as well as today. And so as we go into our Acts, which is where our word is coming from this morning, when we talk about Simon, and we're talking about the Simon who tried to buy the Holy Spirit. So that is where our word is coming from right now. And as I said, that's where our title also comes from. God gives us everything we need for us. He's with us 24/7. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. And all we have to do is believe the Spirit of God is freely given to those that believe. That's it. All you have to do is believe. Do you believe in God this morning? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that he died for us, that he is the Son of God on the right hand of the Father? And let's call it the only time Jesus stood that we can read about in the Bible is when they killed Stephen. Jesus was standing on the right hand of God, accepting this young man's spirit into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because Stephen was martyred. Now we're in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk a little bit about Saul. Saul, who stood with the clothes of those that stoned Stephen, young also, watching as they murdered this man of God, watching and standing by. And as it says, if we go back into chapter 7, verse 57, and it says, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. There was unity that time, and they was going to kill somebody. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And I'm just going to continue, because every time I read this, it just touches my heart. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. In other words, he died with God looking down on him. He died with Jesus looking down on him. He died in the flesh, ready to be made spirit. And it was freely given him the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we go into Acts, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose amongst the church of which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Why were you committing them to prison? Because they were making a choice to choose Jesus. Even back then, there was no choice in it. You either follow Caesar or else you follow what the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, or else. And we are having an or else moment in our world today. We've got to choose God. We've got to choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior so we can love. We've got to love our neighbor as we love God and as we love ourselves. We've got to love each other. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your love this morning. And as we continue, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip was awesome. He was awesome. And he didn't play. And let's keep it going. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man, and this is where we get into our title for this morning. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them and that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. There it is. And say, whoop, there it is. Saying, give me this power. Also that anyone on whom I lay hands on, they received the Holy Spirit. And you're thinking to yourself, you don't get it. You don't get it, Simon. You don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. You don't understand. And so he looks at everything, and it's like, okay, we're looking at Simon, and he's looking at everything. He's like, ooh, I can do this. Ooh, I can do that. I'm going to buy this. Ooh, I want to lay hands. I want to be like them. And you have people in the church today who want to be laying hands on folks, who want to be the prophets and the apostles, and they want to be the evangelists, and they want to be the preacher teachers. They want to have all the fivefold. I'm going to get that. Oh, yeah. That's why I come to church. Because I'm going to get mine. But what are you taking out when you leave? Taking the Holy Spirit with you where you go. Are you showing the light of God when people see you? Or are you just trying to get power? And that's what Simon was after, power. And it says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this manner, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now understand, that was a whole different thing, because remember, in the time of Christ, Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. But they preached in Samaria. And Peter told Simon, you better repent, because you can't buy God. And we can't buy God with our actions. We can't buy God with money. You cannot buy your way into heaven. I don't care how many billions of dollars you have. I don't care how much you gave to the poor. If your heart is not right, you will not enter in, because God is not for sale. His Holy Spirit is not for sale. It is cannot by God. The Spirit of God is freely given to those that truly believe. Do you truly believe this morning that Jesus is the Son of God? That he sits on his Father's right hand, interceding every moment, every hour, every second for us? I believe. And I thank God for his Spirit. I thank God for his faith. I thank God for his love. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. And if you go into Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, it says, angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, there is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Oh, he said, I freely accept the gift of the Holy, freely accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He was freely accepting what Philip was given through the Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for great men of God who do as you tell them. Hallelujah. And you know that you know the ones that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are full of the love of Jesus, because they love others. That's how you know they love others. They care about their fellow man. They love Jesus. Hallelujah. I do too. I get excited. I get giddy for myself like a little schoolgirl. Ooh, all excited because it's Jesus. And as we can tell you, says then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may say with me, I believe Jesus with all my heart. I believe in you, Lord God, with all my heart. I believe in your Holy Spirit with all of my heart. Ooh, hallelujah. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and so do I. So he commanded the Jews to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Ooh, hallelujah. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Understand, God picked him up and moved Philip to another place. God don't do that for everybody. Philip was special, and Philip baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All we can say is, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thanking God this morning for this awesome and mighty word today. And let's go into our Psalms. And it says this, and I believe we read this on yesterday, but I just want to read it again. And it says this, but they sin even more against him, because of God, by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that they were the waters discharged and the steady overflow. Hold on, let me come back here. Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters discharged and the streams overflow. There we go. Can he receive bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? And yes, he provided water, he provided bread, and he provided meat. Yes, he did. God provided all their needs. And guess what? 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. They did not have swollen, hurting feet. They did not have anything to keep them from walking. They was walking for the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds of earth and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the poor, as they were whining and complaining. We got to quit whining and complaining and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I can tell you, when you do, not that everything's going to fall into place, not that you're going to have $1 million in cattle on the hill, even though that has been promised. You got to tell God what you want. Even though he already knows it, he wants you to speak. Speak over yourself. Speak life. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust that is foul like the sand of the sea. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all across their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desires. They were not deprived of their cravings. But while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the thousands of men and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, the days he consumed in fertility and their years in fear. Wow. Can you imagine getting manna from heaven and not believing? We don't know their story, but we know how good our Father God is. We don't know where they were coming from, but we know our Father God is good. Because if he wasn't good, he wouldn't have gave them water. If he wasn't good, he would not have given them some peace. And as we continue in Proverbs 19, starting at verse 25, it says, strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Whoa. And as we continue, says, please listen to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. We've got to be trained. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devour iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scoffer and beatings for the backs of fools. And that is our word this morning. And we have read our word for today as well as our word for tomorrow. Again, church announcements for those that are just joining us. There will not be a moving forward on Blog Talk Live tomorrow because I will be exercising my civic duty as an election judge. So there will not be a show on tomorrow. But I still say, read your Bible. Go and get your word. Ask God for a word that's just for you. And I can tell you, if you take your Bible and you lift it up and you take it and you say, okay, Lord, I need a word. And let me tell you something. God will give you a word. It will just come out of nowhere. Whatever the word is for you, for that moment in time, God will provide it. Just ask God what. Whatever it is, God will have it for you. On yesterday, I got a confirmation of our lesson because someone called me regarding a Bible verse they needed. And when we turned to the Bible, it just happened to be one of my favorite songs, which is 118th Psalm. And as we read, it was the title of the lesson right there in print. And I thought, wow, confirmation. And what we confirmed in Psalms 118, when she went to church, another confirmation. God will confirm what he wants for you to do. All you got to do is be open and in tune to listen. Thanking God this morning for this word today. Thanking God for all the life lessons he has given us. Thanking God that he loves us like that. And one of the things, what the Bible says about better plans, and this is from our First Chronicles 17 words, it says he has come a long way from the sheep pen of King David, seeing the beautiful carving, cedar paneling, and gold implements of his palace. He thought of how different his life was and how far God had brought him. Yet it was the Lord who had done all of it, all of the victories, the successes, the wealth, the peace, yet David felt the pictures were still incomplete. I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under ten curtains. He said to Nathan the prophet, the holy ark of the covenant, the place where the presence of God would appear deserves better. The Lord was worthy to be honored after all he had done for Israel. How could David dwell in such an opulence not build a house for the one who has given him everything? Yet the Lord's response surprised him. You shall not build me a house to dwell in. David's son Solomon would build that temple, but God had different plans for David. Was David wrong for wanting to build a house for the Lord? Of course not. He wanted to honor God, and that is always a good thing. However, David no doubt learned from Samuel the prophet. To obey is better than sacrifice. Can y'all hear me? To obey is better than sacrifice. We got to obey God. And when God says no, then no, no, it's no. He didn't want David to build his temple. It was meant for Solomon. It was Solomon's assignment. David got the stuff, and Solomon had the work done. God loves it when our desire is to exalt him. But there are times he will say no to our plans in order to accomplish more important things through us. We know that that was true with David, 1 Chronicles 18:3 tells us. He went to establish his power by the river Euphrates, which fulfilled God's promise to Abraham. To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. David strengthened Israel by defeating the Philistines, Moabites, and the Ammonites. He also collected many of the materials that would ultimately be used in the temple. Sometimes it will be true with us as well. God will stop us from doing something we believe is good to accomplish something better for his kingdom. Just remember, you don't have to think of pious acts to please God. Did you catch that? You don't have to think of pious acts to please God. Your obedience pleases him immeasurably. So listen to the Lord and make that whatever you do for him come first from him. Hallelujah. That's a word that we need in this season. That's a word we need in this season. God is in charge of everything. And we better understand that when God is in charge and you try to outdo God, better watch it. And in 1 Chronicles 17:16, what is my house that you have brought me this far? God values genuine humility more than we can possibly imagine. As King David had a strong sense of self, but he gladly bowed down to the real king, the Lord of hosts. God acts for our benefit, not because we have earned his favor or deserve his grace, but because his loving heart desires to bless those who have given him their heart. Have you given your heart to the Lord today? David bought a large amount of bronze with which Solomon made the bronze seat, the pillars, and the articles of bronze, 1 Chronicles 18:8. God did not allow David to build the temple, but he did allow him to make preparation for it and to provide many of his supplies. Even when he says no, God shows us his grace. And all I can say is thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, for loving us enough to give us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us enough to give up your life for us. And as we go into Acts, it says, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Peter had to give Simon an understanding. We do not know if Simon the sorcerer made a big error as a baby Christian or whether he had never truly come to the faith. But in either case, Peter rebuked him shortly. Not to condemn him, but to rescue him. You know, you cannot purchase salvation. You cannot buy your way into heaven. So anybody thinking they can do what they want to do to buy their way into heaven will find out at judgment the reality of, I don't care what you do. Did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you love? Is the question. Do you love God? Do you love God's people? Do you love Jesus? Have you accepted him as the Son of God and as your Lord and Savior? Salvation is what we have to have. Salvation is what we need. Are you saved? Are you feeling that? Because I sure am. Thank you, Lord. And as we wrap up this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word for this morning from our sister is this. Good morning. Your time is coming. It's going to happen for you. So many breakthroughs. So many blessings leaving. Keep praying and watch your life change for the better. Right on point. I'm going to read it again. Your time is coming. It's going to happen for you. So many breakthroughs. So many blessings. Keep believing. Keep praying. And watch your life change for the better. Have a motivated Monday. And I thank God for our sister in Christ, because I know that she is from God. And again, as she has already told us, hallelujah, the Spirit of God is freely given to those that believe. Are you believing that your breakthrough is coming? Are you believing that your blessings are coming? Are you believing that God is in charge of your life? And this is our prayer for today. New heart. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Whew. Right on point. John 7:38. Infinite one, you are the source of living water. Your refreshing fountain of life revives even the most destitute soul. Thank you for freely flowing in and through me. What a wonderful gift. Not only am I brought to life in you, but this same power gushes out of me. King of kings, you are the originator of all the greatness we see, and yet you are so much better. May I not hoard the life in my heart, causing the water to grow stale. Lord, I know that your kingdom is ever increasing. May I freely offer all that you have given me, keeping the restorative life you have given us, Jesus. As I live my life generously, I trust that you will continue to pour out your life-giving love over me. In you, my heart has come alive. Thank you for making me new. I offer you all the praise I have. You are so worthy. And the question that they ask today is this: what is flowing from your heart lately? Are you flowing love today? Are you flowing grace today? And it says this in Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins by your grace. And as we read tomorrow's prayer, just think this through. As you leave today, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and those and yours, for those that must leave exactly at 8. But this is a prayer that God just put in our book for tomorrow that I'm sharing with you today. And it says, gracious God, you are so generous in your mercy to all. I cannot presume to be like you, yet refuse to forgive. With some people, it is easier to forgive them than not. The deeper the wound inflicted by the person, the harder it is to pardon them. When I'm finding it hard to let go of the right I feel over the pain that someone inflicted, give me the grace I need to trust that you are the only one who has the right to withhold forgiveness, and yet you don't. Keep my heart set on you. So even in this struggle, I go deeper into your heart of love. Your compassion covers a multitude of sins. I will look to your kindness and not theirs. Lord, when I need the gentle push in the right direction, may I not hold others to a standard I will not submit to myself. Cover me with your considerate love. And the question is, what do you need grace to forgive? Who do you need grace to forgive? And so we need to forgive today. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in believing. And know that our Lord God freely gives. The Spirit. The Spirit of God is freely given to those that believe. So believe in the Lord today. Trust in him. Don't have a Simon spirit to try to buy what God freely gives. Thank you so much, family. I'll be back, God willing, on Wednesday. As we like to say, I'll see you later. as long as the creek don't rise. So have a blessed day, family, and know that you are loved by God and that he freely gives it to each and every one of us. By his grace, by his love, we are saved. Be blessed. It's time for me to go to work. Love you all. Have a great and wonderful day. And keep our nation in your prayers. Pray for our planet. Pray for all of your nations. Pray for your leaders that they make the right decisions for the people of their country. So thank you all. I appreciate you. To my three brothers and sisters, bonjour. Have a great day, everyone. It is a wrap.